storm, growing in intensity as he neared. Thunder rumbled in the distance, followed by a blinding streak of lightning that split the night sky, burning its spectacular forked image onto the backs of her retinas. The roar of thunder was deafening this time, seeming to shake the ground itself. He appeared again, so much closer this time, moving impossibly fast. Then he disappeared, lost to the darkness. But Noah knew exactly where he was. His Kakui swirled around him, vicious and intense. He wasn't running before the storm. He was the fucking storm. Fat droplets of rain hit her cheeks as her captor stiffened, the sharp point of his blade digging into her skin. Lightning flashed, the world lit up, but Ashrael was nowhere to be seen. The tempo of the rain started to increase, and Noah tasted pure, fresh water on her lips. With his free hand, her captor fired a shot of plasma off into the distance. All the while, he held his blade steady, applying just enough pressure to remind her of his earlier threat. The skies opened up, and the rainfall turned into a downpour, drowning out any other sound. A wave of pressure crashed into her from behind, sending Noah stumbling forward. With her hands bound behind her back, she struggled to keep her balance, dropping to her knees. The blade at her neck was gone. She was soaked through to the bone, the rain drenching her clothes and turning the dirt around her into mud. She rose to her feet, testing the bonds around her wrists. They wouldn't budge. She couldn't see anything, but she could feel Ashrael in front of her. His presence drowned out everything else, muting the terrible symphony of thoughts and emotions that emanated from these lethal Cordolians. The sounds of combat reached her ears, along with the terrifying certainty that one of them was about to die. Lightning flashed, and through the haze of the pouring rain, Noah saw Ashrael and the Silent One circling each other in a deadly dance. Darkness blanketed them as thunder rumbled ominously in the distance. Then, a white sheet of lightning lit up the sky again, illuminating the fighters for a split second. They were on the ground now, engaged in an ugly, dirty fight. The Silent One's white clothing was stained the color of rust. Ashrael's body was slick with moisture and mud. He had the assassin pinchered between his muscular legs, and he appeared to be squeezing him to death. The emotions resonating from him were terrifying. Noah thought she saw several ebony-clad figures closing in on them, but she wasn't too sure, because the rain cast a curtain across her vision, and the sky had turned dark again. She couldn't see anything now. Thunder boomed, surrounding her with a wall of sound. This was nature's awe-inspiring soundtrack, the primal song of the sky and the earth. It merged with the roar of the falling sky and the silent, deadly auras of the two assassins as they fought to the death, cloaked in darkness. Unable to see and unable to hear anything but the pouring rain, Noah let go of her flimsy psychic barriers. She opened herself fully to the bond and felt Ashrael's presence, seething, vicious, and powerful. She caught a small glimpse into his mind. Having only one arm didn't slow him down. He was death's child, and he knew only one way of fighting. Victory equaled death. Survival meant thrusting one's opponent into the afterlife. There was no other option.
"Your life is mine, brother."
His triumph was a terrible thing to behold. His brethren were his enemies. He had no friends or allies in this universe. He was well and truly alone. He had no attachments, and his loyalty had been enforced, not won. Except that now he had Noah. What did that even mean? She trembled at the realization that by accident or design, she was bound to him. He restored the balance to her fractured mind and eliminated those who would see her harmed. The sky lit up, several flashes of lightning coming in quick succession. She saw him standing over the body of his fallen enemy, his chest heaving, his torso painted black and ochre, his blood mingling with the red earth. His aura was an indecipherable swirl of emotions. Anger, satisfaction, pain, sorrow, relief. Instinctively, she reached across the bond, even though she didn't know what she could possibly say or do.
"I'm here," she said at last as he fell to his knees.
"I know."
He pitched forward, collapsing in the mud beside his fallen opponent, the rain sluicing off his pale body. As the lightning flashed again, she saw Cordolian warriors, the dark figures she'd spotted earlier, closing in on them from all directions. She paid them no heed as she rushed towards Azrael, her gait unbalanced, her feet throwing up sprays of muddy water as fear deserted her and darkness descended once again. It didn't matter. She couldn't see him, but she knew exactly where he was. As she fell to her knees beside him, she strained at her bonds, trying to break free. But they were made of some impossibly strong material that chafed against her skin. She cried out in frustration, hating the fact that she was so helpless.
"Wait."
Despite being hurt, Azrael spoke in her mind. His powerful chest was heaving, and his breath came in great noisy gasps. But somehow he was able to focus on Noah and what she was doing. How much self-control did he possess?
"These are mind-locked, here."
A weird kind of pressure surrounded her wrists, and Noah gasped in surprise as the cuff suddenly fell off. Her lower arms tingled with a residual sensation that wasn't unpleasant. Her shoulders and wrists ached, but at least she was free.
"What did you just..."
Azrael didn't answer. His breathing became harsher and more labored. Panicking, Noah reached out in the darkness, searching for him. Her hands glided over his bare, wet skin, and there was a sharp intake of breath as she touched a spot in the side of his rib cage where he'd been stabbed. The wound was wide and gaping, and she felt his warm blood before it was washed away by the pouring rain. He was bleeding profusely, but she couldn't see the extent of his injuries. The only thing she could rely on was her sense of touch. "I'm going to put pressure on your wound," she said, not quite sure if he could hear her.
"You don't have to speak aloud,"
he reminded her, his mind voice echoing loud and clear inside her head. His words were tinged with irony, even though he was supposed to be mortally wounded. Noah pressed down on his wound, and he grunted in pain.
"I'm still getting used to all this. Not all of us were born with the ability."
She took a deep breath and tried to calm herself as Azrael's aura surrounded her. In contrast to the cold, inhuman being she'd encountered back in that dark prison, this version of him was warm and vulnerable and very much alive. She found his presence was strangely comforting. His closeness was making her feel strange. She couldn't believe she had her hands on his chest. It boggled her mind that his living, breathing form was beneath her. And he'd just saved her life.
"Why?"
she mused, and it was more of a rhetorical question, but he answered it anyway.
"You are the only soul who has ever shown a shred of concern for me,"
he murmured.
however misplaced that might be. And you are my Saurian.
Saurian?
She'd heard the term mentioned, but she hadn't paid it much attention.
What does that even mean? You will see.
The rain began to ease, and a flicker of lightning offered her a glimpse of Ashrael's wet form.
You're naked, she gasped, forgetting her mind speech as she briefly caught sight of his powerful body.
He was lying on his back in the dirt, and he was wounded in more than one place, his pale platinum skin marred by several nasty-looking black cuts.
So?
He reacted to her surprise with nonchalance, as if such blatant nudity was no big deal. Thunder rumbled in the background, growing more distant. That strange feeling inside her grew. Her heart was fluttering like a caged butterfly. Her spine was tingling, and Noah was so confounded by it all that she paid no heed to her surroundings, particularly the four armed warriors who had surrounded them. When the lightning revealed them to her, they were so close she could reach out and touch them. Noah gasped. She hadn't heard or sensed their approach. Without thinking, she threw herself protectively over Ashrael.
"Don't hurt him. He's already wounded," she blurted. "He saved my life."
"Ugh,"
one of the warriors grumbled, his voice floating to her through the rain and darkness. His tone was a mixture of irritation and surprise.
"So it seems. Fucker's too fast for his own good, and now he's doing our job for us. I trust you know better than to try anything stupid now, Katach."
Ashrael laughed softly.
"So, what are we supposed to do with him now?"
"That's up to the boss to decide. He'll be here shortly. Did you hear? He's taken the other one alive."
"He'll be furious that they evaded our surveillance systems," another remarked.
Noah recognized this voice. Rickle.
"I thought we had this place locked down tight. Hate to say it, but maybe we've underestimated them. Now that he's got his tongue back, maybe our wraith can enlighten us on our mysterious enemies."
He let out a dry laugh.
"If he decides to come over to our side. I thought the rumors were exaggerations, but you touched ones really are monsters when it comes to stealth."
His voice held a mixture of surprise and frustration.
"You're such a pain in the ass to try and kill."
"That is true,"
Ashrael told her matter-of-factly, radiating a subtle kind of amusement. Some of his pain escaped through their bond, and Noah suspected he was hiding the full extent of it. She wondered how he could find the energy to be smugly amused when he was so severely wounded. Cordolians, she decided, were strange. Rickle and the other warriors didn't seem overly concerned about the fact that Ashrael was bleeding out in the mud, nor did they care that the rain, although softer now, was pelting down all around them. Noah's clothes were soaked through, and she began to shiver. She wasn't sure whether she was cold, or whether she was spooked by the darkness and the aftermath of violence and the images of blood and death emblazoned in her mind. The assassin's lifeless body lay just meters from them. She shuddered.
"How the hell did we not know what these guys were capable of?"
Rickle seemed more concerned with the fact that the Silent Ones had gotten past them.
"Empire's full of secrets, Rhea," a deep voice rumbled. "That's how the royal family keeps its power. We've seen this pattern before. Remember Barduk? Telluron V? Veronia? The clusterfuck that was Omeron Ra? Figureheads and leaders die in mysterious circumstances. Then they send us in to cause chaos, colonize, and clean up the mess. Well, at least they used to. But those deaths weren't accidental. Why do you think we know so little about the Silent Ones? It's because they aren't supposed to exist. The General knew about them. Only reason we know so much is through him. Yeah, but he's the big G. It's his job to know a bit about everything. But I get the feeling even the General's only scratching the surface when it comes to understanding these freaks. Somehow, the soldiers had become relaxed. Perhaps it was because Ashrael was lying helpless in the mud with his arm limp and outstretched. He wasn't a threat to any of them right now. Noah couldn't see them in the darkness, but they probably had their guns trained on him, and by extension, her. She wasn't quite sure who the enemy was anymore, and their nonchalance was bothering her. "Hey," Noah said sharply, her voice taut with urgency. "He needs a medic. Aren't you going to help him?"
"You think those delicate hands of yours are the reason his bleeding stopped?"
Rickle laughed.
"I told you before, he can stop the bleeding with his mind."
Noah blinked.
"You can?"
There was a pause as Noah's suspicion grew.
"Perhaps,"
Ashrael admitted at last.
"So I can let go now?"
"No, stay."
His breathing was steadier now. He placed his wet hand over hers, sending a ripple of anticipation through her. His fingers were warm and strong and reassuring.
"You have good hands. Strong hands. You're stronger than you look, human."
"Is that a compliment?"
She narrowed her eyes.
"Perhaps."
That strange feeling returned, resonating through their bond. It rendered Noah speechless. Soaked through and plastered with mud, unable to stop her body from shaking, and surrounded by a squad of menacing guards, she somehow found herself sharing mind speech with a wounded ex-assassin. No, they were sharing a little bit more than just mind speech. Despite his injuries, Ashrael's body was warm under her fingers, and his constant presence in the back of her mind was reassuring. Defying all odds, he'd come for her as soon as he'd sensed a threat. She shuddered as she recalled the way he'd stood over his dead opponent, staring down at him with his face hidden in the shadow, his right hand darkened with blood. There had been nothing triumphant about his victory. A complicated swirl of dark emotions had radiated from him, but above all, he'd projected a sense of savage relief. One was a survivor. One was dead. That was all. Hanoa had been surprised that she too had felt a sense of relief. She was glad that her faceless attacker was dead. The intensity of her feelings shocked her. She'd never wished death upon another in her life. Well, maybe she'd had some dark thoughts about the SynCorp crazies who'd put her through hell, but this was different. This was raw, brutal reality, and there was no turning back from it now. So, she held on tightly to her unlikely savior, as the sky lit up once more, revealing his pale face. His features were etched with pain, but his lips were slightly curved. He was smiling. Noah looked up as a familiar presence descended on them. Although she couldn't see much, she'd felt something. A strange sort of energy that made the fine hairs on the back of her neck stand up. The rain had stopped now, leaving her soaked to the bone. The wind had died down, and the silence was punctuated with a gentle rhythmic patter of dripping water as it fell from the rain-drenched trees. This new presence was unmistakable. The General radiated power and anger in equal measure, but his aura was tempered with a sense of icy control. Icy fury. It was rather scary.
Anticipating the danger, Noah rose to her feet. "He saved me," she blurted, before anyone else could get a word in. Her voice trembled, her hands shook, and her legs felt weak, but she stood her ground. The darkness unnerved her because she couldn't see who she was facing. But somehow her mental senses had become more acute, and she had a reasonable idea of where everyone was.
"Indeed," Tarak replied, as cryptic as ever, although there was an undercurrent of dark anger in his voice.
The clouds parted, admitting a sliver of moonlight. It was just enough for her to be able to make out the silver faces of the Cordolians. She looked down. Ashrael's eyes were closed. He barely seemed to be breathing.
"Ashrael?"
She called out to him, but he didn't respond. She could feel him through the bond, but he was slipping away.
"Help him," she pleaded.
For the second time that night, she fervently hoped he could elude his ever-present companion, death. Chapter 16. He was floating again. He drifted in and out of consciousness until his sense of time and space kicked in. Tentatively, he extended his cocci. He was in stasis again. He did a quick inventory of his body. The largest wound, the one the human had placed her hands over, extended to his right lung. He'd focused most of his cocci there, using the energy to stop the bleeding before he'd endured the ignominy of passing out. Again. In front of half of the First Division, the General, and the mystifying, confusing, insane human. He'd passed out like some wet-around-the-ears novice who hadn't yet learned how to use his cocci to stop exsanguination. That human. He still didn't know her name. He vaguely remembered her standing up for him, trying to protect him, even though he'd done nothing to deserve her loyalty. Therefore, she had to be crazy. Who in their right minds would protect a silent one? He tested his limbs, kicking his legs and flexing his arms. Wait. Arms? His left arm was there. But it wasn't. Something was attached to the stump of his missing limb. He extended his senses and studied the thing with his second sight. It was an arm. It felt strange, and not entirely organic.
As he made an experimental fist, he became aware of a familiar, oppressive presence.
It was so pervasive, he wondered how he could have missed it.
"A risk and a reward." The General's deep voice filtered through the speakers in his breathing apparatus. "It is a composite, made up of your own biological material and a cybernetic framework."
That explained why it felt so strange.
"The cybernetic framework will give you increased strength. It has been integrated into your nervous system. I presume you are ambidextrous."
"Naturally," Ashrael answered, before he remembered that the General couldn't use mind speech. He didn't have the talent.
"Of course," he said,
his voice sounding hollow from within the confines of his helmet.
"But why would you give me such a thing?" "As I said, it is both a risk and a reward. I am under no illusions when it comes to your past loyalties, but a true silent one would not risk his life for the sake of a human, nor would he be able to kill one of his brethren."
"It would be a violation of the mind bond," Ashrael agreed.
His kind were not programmed to rescue or save anyone. For the first time in his life, he'd acted of his own free will.
"I have returned what I took from you, but do not forget that I can take it away from you at any time. Granted, I am taking a risk with you,
but through your actions, you have demonstrated that you are more than just a mindless slave.
What do you want from me?
Nothing in the universe was given freely.
Many things. Your knowledge, your skills, your loyalty. Your cooperation in carrying out an impossible task.
Ashrael stared at the general with his sightless eyes. He could guess what Acadian was alluding to.
How would working for you be any different than working for the Empire? I would still be under the rule of another.
In our universe, freedom is a privilege, not a right. What would you do with true freedom, Katach? Spend the rest of your life running from the Empire? Play out the meaningless existence of a drifter? There is a kill order on your head now. Your brethren will not stop until you are dead. I am offering you the chance to break free of your existential shackles. In the new state, we do not abide by slavery.
The general shrugged.
Take it or leave it. It would be a shame to lose one of your talent, but I can always find another.
Ashrael made a fist, testing the power of his new arm. The strength flowing through his modified limb was impressive. He felt as if he could crush Kalidum between his fingers.
You seek to manipulate me by appealing to my emotions and playing on my weaknesses.
He wasn't angry or surprised. The general's ploy was logical.
Is it manipulation or truth? You have never had to rely on your own moral compass before. Figure out what you want, Katach. I'm offering you a choice. There is not much freedom in it, but it is better than what you have now.
Acadian moved closer to the stasis tank, peering through its thick walls.
I will give you some time. Think on it.
He turned on his heel and began to walk away. As he reached the exit, he paused, looking over his shoulder. An odd emotion radiated from him. He seemed almost amused.
Oh, and your human has been asking to see you. I am of two minds as to whether I should allow it. Of course, my decision will depend on your answer.
The general disappeared through the Qualum door, leaving Ashrael alone to think about the meaning of his existence. He tried to empty his mind and find the center of his energy, but equilibrium eluded him. It was because of her. She invaded his mind and clouded his thoughts. His memories of her were more vivid and potent than anything else. He'd absorbed her with all of his senses, including his coqui, and now he savored the reassurance of her presence. Their bond was like a tree. It had grown from a small, fragile seedling, and it continued to spread its roots. It was effortless and natural, and he'd never experienced anything like it. He remembered the feeling of her hands pressing against his chest as he lay on the muddy ground. She had long, elegant fingers, and her skin was warm and smooth. Her touch had been firm and reassuring, and in that moment, she'd exuded quiet strength. Rickle had been right. He hadn't needed her help to stop the bleeding, but he'd kept her by his side anyway. He'd been secretly afraid that after this little stunt, they would lock him up forever and he would never see her again. So, he'd kept her hand on his chest for as long as he could before his world faded to black. And now, he was trapped again, suspended in icy cold restoration fluid with fire raging through his veins. The heat spread to his loins, gifting him with a raging hard-on that made him bite the inside of his lip. He tasted his own bitter blood as he tried to suppress his arousal. Kyene's hells. He was riddled with knife wounds. His ribs were broken in several places. One of his lungs had just been reinflated. And all he could do was lust after a fragile, crazy human.
What was this feeling? Why did it feel as if his cold black heart had suddenly come to life after being perpetually frozen?
Ashrael, are you awake?
She called to him in crystal clear mind speech. Her voice made him want to tear down the sides of his stasis tank and go to her. The intensity of his need made his erection almost painful. Ah, shit. If the general had somehow anticipated this, then he was a skilled manipulator indeed.
Figure out what you want.
The bastard.
Ashrael?
Her sweet voice was full of concern.
I am fine,
he replied, even though he was anything but. Chapter 17. Morning brought with it a special kind of stillness. When Noah looked out her window, the ground was still wet, and the hardy bushes and shrubs scattered around the house glistened with moisture. A hush had settled over the land, punctuated only by the distant twitter of birdsong. It was as if the surroundings themselves were reverent of the dawn, paying silent homage to the rare event that had passed in the night. For it rarely ever rained in the desert. Noah had slept fitfully, her dreams haunted with images of dead assassins, and Ashrael, wounded and bleeding, his eyes closed, his pale face slowly turning gray as he crossed over into the afterlife. In her dreams, she hadn't been able to feel their bond. To her relief, she could feel it now. He was alive. Just beyond her door, two armored Cordolians stood watch. When she closed her eyes and opened her mind, she could feel their auras, deadly and unwavering. After her near capture, the general was taking no chances. They had moved her to a more secure part of the compound, and they'd scoured the surroundings throughout the night, searching for any sign of intruders. As she pulled on a thermal jacket, a soft knock at the door made her turn. She opened the door and found Ziara standing before her. He's awake, the medic informed her. General Tarak says you may see him now. Afterwards, you're scheduled for training with Elgin. Noah hid her surprise at the general's decision. After what had happened last night, she was sure she'd be denied access to Ashrael. But the Cordolians had treated her request as if it were the most natural thing on earth. It was almost as if they'd been expecting her reaction. It was as if they knew something she didn't. She followed Ziara as they headed out of the dwelling, making for the collection of alien-looking structures she'd come to think of as the facility. Despite their sinister appearance, in reality, they were a lot less creepy than the place where she'd been held captive by the crazies. Two guards trailed behind them, a pair of silent black specters, carrying a sizable arsenal between them. The three Cordolians hid their faces from the morning sun, Ziara donning a pale blue shawl, and the warriors concealing their features under full armor. Noah was the only one who basked in the morning glow. Humans were born to the light, whereas Cordolians thrived in darkness. Perhaps they needed one another, like day needed night. A dark shadow crossed over them, and Noah saw a sleek alien spacecraft flying overhead. It descended rapidly, heading towards a landing area in the distance. For such a large craft, it was strangely quiet, unlike the noisy human-made skyflyers she'd traveled on from time to time.
Reinforcements, Ziara said. The first of many. There won't be a repeat of last night's attack.
There was a hard, angry edge to her voice. A few weeks ago, Noah might have thought it uncharacteristic of the medic to sound so vengeful. But then again, Ziara was Cordolian, and underneath her calm exterior
lay the fierce soul of a warrior. They reached a large black structure, which was virtually indistinguishable from the other buildings. Noah didn't see the entrance until it unraveled, revealing the dark interior. On cue, Ziara flipped on a handheld light for her benefit, passing it to her as they made their way inside. Instantly, she was bathed in Ashrael's familiar aura. The bond was there, always there. But whenever she got close enough, she could feel the strange, thrilling energy that radiated from him. At first, she'd found it terrifying. Now, it was comforting.
"You are here,"
he murmured suddenly, interrupting her thoughts. Surprise radiated through their bond, but then he went quiet. As they headed towards the place where he was kept, Noah wondered if she was making a mistake by insisting on seeing him. What if he didn't want anything to do with her? There were sentries everywhere, silently watching them as they passed. The warriors escorting her didn't acknowledge them, not even with a simple nod of recognition. In their dark armor, they seemed to blend with the shadows and the very substance of the structure itself. A chill ran down Noah's spine. She would never get used to the Cordolian way of doing things. If not for Ziara and the two guards shadowing them, Noah would probably have had an attack of claustrophobia.
"He's in the stasis tank," Ziara informed her, as they entered a room decked out with monitoring equipment.
"He's sustained several nasty wounds, but his use of the Kakui seems to be accelerating the recovery process." She peered at a holoscreen. It showed a large glowing tank, but in the dim light, Noah couldn't make out the occupant. It didn't matter. She knew he was there. She could feel him with every pore and fiber of her body. "Ever since last night, he's been unexpectedly cooperative. Judging from the way he acts around you, I doubt he'd do anything to harm you. But we'll send these two in, just in case." She nodded in the direction of the two silent guards. "I'll stay here and watch his vitals through the monitors. If he gets agitated, I'll just pump him full of sedative." She shot Noah a sly look.
"I know you both have the ability to speak without speaking. You may communicate through mind speech, but if he does anything inappropriate, you must let us know straight away."
"He won't hurt me," Noah said, with absolute certainty. Somehow, she knew it, beyond a shadow of a doubt. If he really wanted to, he would have done so already. "He saved my life last night, Ziara." One of the guards shook his head wryly, murmuring something under his breath in Cordolian. Noah raised a questioning eyebrow, but said nothing. Part of the wall unraveled, revealing a rounded chamber dotted with softly glowing blue lights. Noah's skin tingled. Her breath caught. Without waiting, she stepped forward, drawn towards the glowing blue tank in the center of the room.
"Hello, human."
His mind voice filled her head. It was smooth as silk and loaded with satisfaction, reminding her of a cat's purr.
"I am pleased to see you."
"Ashrael," she began, her words cut short as she caught sight of him, her small handheld light illuminating the dark, cave-like room. She froze, her jaw dropping. He was floating in a column of blue liquid, and he was completely naked. Well, almost completely naked. They hadn't warned her about that. Damn Cordolians. Heat rose in her chest, spreading up her neck, reaching her cheeks. She cleared her throat nervously, and unable to help herself, she stared. And stared. And stared. Because he was the most magnificent thing she'd ever seen.
His body was chiseled, sculpted, perfection. Even though he was covered in nasty-looking wounds and old faded scars, and even though he was connected to countless lines and tubes, she couldn't help but admire the hard contours of his muscular frame. His shoulders were broad and powerful, and his chest could have been carved from living stone. His stomach was flat and sculpted, the hard ridges of his abdominal muscles giving way to the tapering muscles of his groin. To her astonishment, he seemed to have regrown his left arm overnight, a perfect limb extended from his left shoulder, although it looked a little different from the rest of him. There were hundreds of tiny black... She squinted. Were they veins or wires? Extending underneath his skin, forming a pattern of fine branches. Amazing. The limb wasn't entirely natural. Her gaze traveled further downwards, and... Oh. Oh. Thankfully, or perhaps disappointingly, he was wearing a pair of tight black trunks. They revealed his obvious erection, his hardness straining against the flexible material. Noah's knees turned to jelly. She hadn't been expecting this, not at all. Flustered, she forced her attention back towards Azrael's face, resolving not to look anywhere else for the time being. His features were clearly visible behind a transparent face shield, a helmet of sorts that provided oxygen whilst he was submerged. His sightless eyes were wide open, and even though she knew he couldn't see her in the traditional sense, he seemed to stare straight through her. Without realizing it, Noah had taken a few steps forward. She was now close enough to be able to reach out and place her hand against the thick, transparent wall of the tank. Directly in front of her was a large, rounded patch of slightly discolored material. It seemed to have been welded, or melted, to the rest of the tank, as if the thing had been recently repaired. She wanted to touch him. He was larger than life, and oh so tempting, drawing her into his mystery and his darkness with such compelling power that she was unable to help herself. Just like an addictive, dangerous drug. His dark lips split, revealing his slightly curved, pointed fangs. He was smiling.
As I said, I am pleased to see you, human.
Noah, she said, tracing the outline of his face onto the glass. My name is Noah.
Ah.
He digested that information, seeming to savor it.
At least now I can put a name to you whenever I think of you.
He thought about her? She shuddered, a pleasant sensation traveling through her stomach and down to her core.
I'm sorry you were hurt on my behalf. I just wanted to make sure you were okay. I wanted to thank you for saving me. You did not have to come all this way. You could have reached me with mind speech.
He was right. She could have sat in her guarded little room and conversed with him from afar. Mind speech came more naturally to her now. With every passing day, she got better at using her gift. She'd always been a quick study.
I could have, she admitted. But it just isn't the same as being in the room with you. I would think it rather rude to keep my distance. Especially after you saved my life.
His expression turned serious.
Are you aware, Noah, that our connection continues to deepen?
Whenever I see you, whenever we touch, whenever we use the mind speech, our bond strengthens and grows.
I feel it, but I'm not entirely sure what's happening.
She pressed her palm into the glass, wishing she could touch him. In frustration, she lost control and spoke aloud. I still don't know anything about what's happening to me. I have no choice but to let it happen and hope for the best, but nobody seems to know anything.
That's because people like us have been largely lost to the universe. The Kokwi is an ancient, mysterious gift. Some say it is a throwback to a time when the gods walked on our planet and procreated with Cordolians. That is why they call us touched. Because of my gift, I have been forcefully broken, damaged, and enslaved. I will never reach my full potential. You, on the other hand, are pure and far more powerful than I. With the right training, you could do great things.
Training? Her thoughts were spinning. Ashrael was saying profound things. Surely she wasn't as powerful as he seemed to believe. I thought Elgin was...
The old man knows a little more than the rest of us, but not enough to do justice to a talent like yours. Even my mistress would secretly be terrified of you, although the old hag would never show it.
Mistress? Noah didn't like the sound of that. What had Ashrael had to endure to become a silent one? He ignored her query, pinning her with his liquid obsidian gaze. His aura became heavy, causing the Cordolian warriors to move forward, for surely even they felt it. He wrapped her in his warm psychic embrace, and for a moment, Noah felt as if she were floating. A pleasant shiver ran down her spine, and the back of her neck tingled.
I am yours now, whether you want me or not. That is the nature of a bond between Saurian.
What exactly is this Saurian thing everyone keeps talking about?
I thought it was a myth, but now I have seen it and felt it for myself. It is the moment when two beings discover that their Kokwi is perfectly compatible, almost to the point that they become one. It is natural and inevitable. It is the will of the universe.
Noah closed her eyes as his energy swirled around her, caressing her.
I do not deserve you, but I will protect you with all of my skill and power. We are beyond the point of no return, my Noah. The universe has decided, and who am I to question her wisdom?
Noah took a deep breath as his words sank in. The ground underneath her seemed to shift and become more solid as the fear and uncertainty of the past 12 months melted away. Looking up, she peered through the transparent wall and saw Ashrael staring at her, his alien features terrifying and beautiful. He looked like a techno-demonic version of a powerful guardian spirit, the lines and monitors attached to him at odds with his otherworldly appearance.
As I said, our bond is strengthening. It is inevitable.
Everything else had faded into the distance. Noah no longer paid heed to the guards in the background, or to Ziara, who was watching them from the other room. She ignored the crushing, oppressive walls of the room. She forgot that last night she'd been lying in the rain with her hand on Ashrael's chest, fearful he wouldn't survive.
A wave of power rose up within her, wild and unbidden. She was on the verge of losing control. Her skin was on fire. Her breath came in quick, fervent gasps. The heat, unfurling in her core, spread to her pussy, and she trembled with need.
What are you doing?
She tried to hang on to the last vestiges of her control. Part of her wanted to jump into the tank and curl herself around Ashrael. She wanted to kiss his wounds and soothe his aching body and tell him that she didn't think he was unworthy at all. But she suppressed those thoughts with all her might because she didn't want the Cordolians to sense the nature of their exchange. It was scandalous.
People are watching us.
Let them stare.
Ashrael responded, his voice imbued with a savage kind of delight.
You know, there are other ways to strengthen our bond. Physical touch is a very powerful way of channeling the Kakwi. I could teach you.
Noah suppressed a whimper as desire coursed through her. He looked so scary and serious, but behind his impassive facade, he was hiding sly amusement. Clearly, he was a master at concealing his emotions. But what filtered through their bond was most revealing. Perhaps he intended for it to be that way.
Not now, Ashrael, she snapped, more than a little flustered. Aren't you supposed to be injured?
I am injured, but wounds heal. Pain is only temporary, and when combined with pleasure, it can take on a special quality of its own.
This was happening too quickly. He'd gone from being a terrifying presence in the back of her mind, a malevolent spirit trying to control and dominate her, to a fierce, alluring protector. Her world was crashing down all around her and reshaping itself into a reality where aliens, telepathy, and distant worlds were just a day-to-day occurrence. Impossible things were solidifying, and for the first time in her life, Noah began to feel grateful for what the crazies had done to her. Ashrael's Kakwi rippled with warmth, giving her just a taste of what was to come.
I see you,
he whispered in her mind.
I have seen you by touch and through the second sight. And you please me very much. I am in the process of bargaining for my freedom, and as soon as I get out of here, I will come for you.
It wasn't a request. It was a simple statement of intent, and it both frightened and thrilled Noah. It wasn't that she was afraid of Ashrael. She was just scared that once she opened herself up to him and allowed herself to fall completely under his spell, she would be forever lost. Their bond sang, crying out for their bodies to touch. It was painful and exhilarating, and Noah couldn't stand it any longer, especially in front of all these spectators. So she turned on her heel, glancing back at Ashrael.
You know how to find me,
she said in parting, as the thread of their connection stretched taut, thrumming with tension, turning the air thick with the weight of their desire. The guards followed her out, not saying a word, although she was acutely aware of their pointed stares.
Thank Jupiter for mind speech.
They had no idea of what had just passed between Noah and Ashrael. I told you he'd behave himself, Noah said to Ziara as she returned to the monitoring room.
She couldn't help but smile at the half-truth, because Ashrael had been anything but behaved. I don't think he's as bad as the stories make him out to be. He's just... misunderstood.
Oh?
Ziara raised a lilac eyebrow. We still don't trust him, but it's a start. As she leaned closer to Noah, her voice dropped to a whisper.
I was watching the physiological monitors, she said conspiratorially. His change of heart clearly has something to do with you. Were you aware of this?
I'm discovering a great many things, was all Noah said in reply, not wanting to divulge too much. The aftertaste of Ashrael's aura rippled all over her, making her toes curl. Will I be allowed to visit him again?
That will depend on whether he decides to cooperate.
Chapter 18.
We can take you out of stasis now, Ziara announced, her hollow voice jolting Ashrael out of his half-sleep. He rarely ever truly slept, preferring to exist in the mind space halfway between wakefulness and unconsciousness. In truth, he'd been trying to reach Noah in his semi-dreaming state, but their connection hadn't yet reached the point where he could enter her dreams. Gods, he wanted to enter her on every level. He wanted to possess her. They were destined to become one. When she'd walked into his presence, her cocky crackling with desire, he'd known it with absolute certainty. And therefore, he had made his decision. He suspected the general had understood what was going on before anyone else. The bastard had allowed them to meet again on purpose, knowing what the likely outcome would be.
I'm going to drain the restoration fluid now, the medic informed him. Your wounds aren't completely healed, but they're no longer so severe that you need to be in stasis. The general requires you to attend testing.
Testing? You'll see.
The medic was in some external control room. I'm activating the drainage function now.
Ashrael waited as the fluid level slowly dropped. He drifted downwards until his bare feet touched the lower surface of the tank. When the tank was empty, he removed his breathing helmet. The wires and tubes attached to his body automatically disengaged, falling to the floor. He ached in places, but he felt better than he had in a long time, especially with his left arm re-engineered and intact. He was no longer a slave of the Empire. His mind bond was broken, and he had a new body. And he had a Saurian.
All because his mistress had commanded him to go to Earth, assassinate General Tarak al-Akkadian, and capture his human mate.
All because he'd failed, defeated by a biologically engineered monster with an unfair advantage. The universe had a strange way of balancing out injustice.
Time for me to pay my dues, huh?
Ashrael flexed his left arm as a hatch at the front of the tank opened, allowing him to step through.
What do you want of me, Akkadian?
Of course, he sensed the general's presence before he entered the room. The door to the medical bay opened to reveal the general and Elgin. Akkadian was clad in his combat armor, and he walked straight up to Ashrael, scrutinizing him.
You heal fast, he said.
Ashrael shrugged.
Not as fast as you, monster.
No, but fast enough.
He produced a small throwing dagger and held it out to Ashrael, hilt first.
Try your new arm. Aim for the point on the wall, just above the Qualum door. You're not worried that I might...